The referee is reaching into their pocket. What's that card going to be? Oh, it's a red card. That can mean only one thing. It is time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. I am your host, Eric Paisley. With me on this St. Patrick's Day night is...
John Brennig.
We're still looking for that pot of gold. John, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Good. It was a good Sunday, good holiday.
Yeah, we're going to be on the St. Patrick's Day edition. We are going to be talking about the matches against Inter Miami and Charlotte. We will tell you who the hardest working player is for each match, who the MVP is for each match, what our favorite goal is, who needs to get off our pitch. We're going to talk about it all, and we're going to be talking about the matches coming up. All right, John, gut check time. Whew. Inter Miami. What was your reaction to that match?
Well, the first time we played with them was good. That time was not good.
Yeah, I think that there was a lot of expectation from us. We'll talk about our score predictions in the end segment, but we both thought that Gary said we're going to put on a show. Well, that wasn't much of a show. Except that, you know, it's like that scene in Dances with Wolves. You know, Major's here to see a show, but ain't no show. Like there was no show to be had.
No, and I mean, I think we'll talk about this later, but I mean, that lineup was interesting too. Like, I don't know. There was a lot of weirdness about our lineup, the way we played that game. Yeah, like, I don't know. The first one felt like a repeat of the two times we played Miami last year in the League's Cup final and in the league. You know what I mean? This one felt like, I don't know, the Wacky Wednesday version, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we tend to midweek do poorly, and it was a weird game. Very boring if you were a Nashville fan. And let's talk about the Charlotte match, so we'll just get our gut reactions. I was at the match. What was your view of the match, remote?
It was a good match. The lineup was very similar to a week ago against the Galaxy. The result was better because we won, but in some ways I actually don't think we played as well as we did against the Galaxy. I don't think we looked quite as sharp, but there were also some moments of brilliance. So it was kind of, it was a mixed bag. Overall, we got the W. Great. That was necessary. But I mean, my gut check was, it was a good match, but I think we could do some things. We could, you know, tighten up the game a little bit. And that, you know, we could have been a really good team, but there was some slop, you know.
Charlotte was not a very good team, in my opinion.
No.
Charlotte is not a good team. And so it's good to beat bad teams. That, again, we have had a habit of letting bad teams get a hold of us. And I think there's still, and Gary talked about this at the end of his, you know, towards the end of his press conference, you know, there's some things to tighten up. Like you just said, there's some things that he wasn't pleased about. There were some things in Alex's game, even though he got the goal, that he wants to work on letting the goal in late. You know, that's become a habit. That's something we want to, get rid of. I don't want to make too much of a meal out of it, but it was a good feeling in the stadium to have a win. The place was rocking. Everyone was really engaged in the game. It was a good feeling. On the field, it looked like we had the game by the throat pretty much the whole way. And, you know, just with some momentary lapses, that was the only time they ever got back into it. All right. Yeah. Let's talk about the hardest working player. Let's talk about Inter. We'll just talk about Inter first, the Inter Miami match. The hardest working player. This is going to be a tough one. Who is your hardest working?
Man. I feel like when it comes to hardest working, I will say this. I don't think we didn't try. We didn't necessarily look defeated. You know what I mean? When it came to the effort, we did not look up to part of Miami, but on the individual, I didn't see anyone who stood out of like, oh, Dan's just taking a nap on the left back there. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see anything like that necessarily. But I mean, it was kind of a sloppy performance overall. I'm going to give it to Alex because he did not have the Bryce game, but he is Alex and he put forth effort. And I feel like we've seen, and to me, it started with the Mocha match. And then it continued with the Galaxy match last week. He's been doing a little more on the in that last third and being successful. Mm-hmm. And in other words, pushing the ball, passing. We know he can't actually shoot in front of goal, but he's been doing been more involved in that. Like as a midfielder, he seems to be playing farther forward. I feel like he did some of that against the Miami match and tried to make things happen and tried to be Alex. But of course, with Alex, there's all gas, no brakes, and a little bit of lacking in style and finesse. But I feel like I gave it to him as kind of a default because I would love to, you know, typically say like midfielders, but Godoy and Davis did not cover themselves with glory. I mean, Davis, I think, was the one who held them onside that first goal and is kind of responsible for that. Godoy had a pretty admissible game. So kind of default into Alex here because he's always going to be there, always doing his best. And, you know, we talked about it, like in some ways, I'd love to have a more offensive person in that lineup or whatever, but like he's earned a stripe. So I give it to Alex.
Yeah. Same here. I have Alex down on my sheet and I gave it to him because he really seems to really thrive in that right mid. That seems to be his role, right? He ranges all over the pitch. It seems to be given free rein to do that. And it's yielding some results. He's dispossessing players. He's also getting dispossessed. Yeah, it's a mixed bag for sure. But I think both he and Brian Anunga's games have started to elevate. As we've seen the progression this year, I feel like he and Brian specifically, I'd like to highlight them. I think they've both put in a lot of work and it's starting to yield some results. They're starting to fill that role that Leal and Dax's absence have created. And I really like where they're going. All right, let's talk about the MVP for the Inter-Miami match.
Ooh. So even though he only played a half, I'm going to give it to Sam because I feel like he, if you look, first of all, he scored the goal, the only one we got. Yeah. But I feel like he made a difference going forward. Again, back to the lineup thing, and maybe we'll talk more in the second segment. The false nine with Boyd up there, I don't quite get it. I know Surge wasn't full on, but like to me, I feel like in this game where you want to hold up thing, like Gary's been the typical guy who's still willing to throw Teal out there with full well knowing he's not going to score very often. And so I thought the whole Boyd false nine thing was a choice. And I think we looked better when Sam was out there as a target man. Granted, Sam is also really good and we fully expect him, as we've seen, to score goals. But I feel like he made a difference out there and we did have time coming out at the half where we pushed. And granted, I mean, Messi got subbed off in the 50th minute, so he played a whopping 5 minutes of that second half. But there was a time when there was a little bit of glimmer of the hope that we could maybe claw one back early. You know, obviously we had that lapse for the third goal that kind of put it to bed. But there was hope when we saw Sam come on and coming out of the thing. And I feel like a lot of that was on him and the way we were able to shift and use him in a classic target man striker that Gary needs. So I gave him the MVP because it made a difference and he scored the goal.
Same here. I'm obviously a Sam Surridge fanatic, you know, from his days at Nottingham Forest. And now here, it's hard to watch sometimes because I feel like he is a bit underutilized on the dribble. And I think he's overutilized as a target man. He has some really good skill on the ball. And I don't know if he's getting frustrated with that, you know, not getting the ball at his feet and just, you know, being expected to be a big man in the box to head the ball in, which is fine. You know, he's obviously scored goals in that manner, but I think he would really like to be that true striker, you know, sort of target in the middle of the field. I don't know. We'll see how that plays in. I like Boyd as a player, but I feel like all the build-up play that he displayed in the preseason is gone. Like it seems to have disappeared, in my opinion. He's working very hard. He's got he's doing all the sort of very technical things that I think are very impressive, but like where's the, it seems like his aggression is being staunched a bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it does feel like Boyd has not lived up to some of the hype of the earlier games and has kind of disappeared or maybe not find his space. But again, it goes to not belabor it too much, but I feel like we have not had a consistent repeat starting 11 this year due to injuries and other things. And so I feel like there might be a little of that in there. So I'm willing to hold back and, you know, say, give me three or four more games and let's see where we are to really make a judgment on that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. I've got some thoughts about the Boyd, Hani, Surridge trio that is supposed to be the keystone to our season. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a bit. All right, let's talk about the Charlotte match. Hardest working for you?
Because we don't have a lot of strict rules here, I can do things and say, give it to the whole team. No, I'm kidding. We had a lot of great efforts. I mean, here's the thing. I look at this and both Shaq and Taylor did great jobs as wingbacks, and they both got an assist on a cross. Loved them for it. So I'm like, they're in contention, you know, but to me, I'm going to give a split award to Drew and Brian. Yeah. Because that midfield pairing was on fire again. Yeah. I don't know. There is something, and again, this is definitely a big teaser. We're going to talk about this in the second segment. Drew and Brian together have something.
Yeah, there's something going there.
There is something going. And it's not necessarily the priest, but it is about effort. The slide tackles, the interceptions, they are putting in work. Not to say that Davis doesn't put in a lot of that interception work. Godoy a little bit less. But something about them together, they vibe, and it worked in the Galaxy game, and it worked again this past weekend. So I'm going to give it as a split decision to the two of them.
I'm going to give it to Brian. I think that it's because of his consistency so far that has really impressed me. My daughter was at the game with me. She commented that she has seen his game progress just as the time that she's been watching. You know, she kind of likes Brian as a player. That seems to be the sort of aggressive game he has. But he's become a lot more tactical. He's become a lot more, you know, I guess he's seeing the field a little bit better now. And maybe being asked to step up and take a bigger role and then having someone that he can play off of like Drew Yearwood, I think it's really elevated his game. And I'm really happy to see it. He's a great player. He's a great guy. And I look forward to seeing his game grow even more. I think he's really stepped up. All right, MVP for the Charlotte match.
It's Alex freaking Wheel, man. He's gotta be, dude. He finally got on the score sheet. He put in a full classic 90-minute Alex wall to wall effort. He had some great skill. And the thing to pick again, we know about his effort. I feel like I've seen him a couple times do a little more dribbling in small situations here and there. I feel like last year he maybe wasn't allowed, maybe wasn't comfortable. It was very much like one touch, two touch pass. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's possessed a little bit. He's tried to progress the ball. I feel like, again, both Alex and Brian, to me, seem to have stepped up their game a little bit in that close possession aspect. And they look a little better, and they've done a few cheeky things. And it's like, oh, look at what Alex is doing. But I mean, he put in the whole effort and I mean, got rewarded for it on a brilliant header. And I mean, I couldn't ask more from him. It's exactly what you need from Alex. And he got rewarded. It was just, he's the man.
It's noticeable. It's for both Brian and Alex, their game's elevation is noticeable. Of course, I'm gonna give it to Sam just because, again, bias. So I won't even go there, but let's talk about the best goal. Which one is your favorite goal?
Well, so again, I like Alex's thing. His thing, let's be specific. His header, I like the play. I got to give it to Sam's goal because just the fact that Taylor getting an assist is like, another one for Taylor out there putting in the effort, getting a reward. And it was a great cross. And it had to be like a pinpoint header from Sam. That was, not going to lie, you put out Teal, CJ, most of our other strikers we've had, maybe not Jonder just because he was just a tall boy. Any one of our strikers, I don't know that a lot of them are going to hit that. Sam hit it precise. It was spot on, and it was a great cross from Taylor. So I got to give it to that one just because the combo of those two guys getting together on that, it was just beautiful.
I'm going to give it to Alex because the relief on his face, when he looked to the sky with his arms outstretched, was everyone felt the same way. It was a beautiful goal. As my daughter commented, she was surprised it didn't go off his shoulder, buttocks, hip, you know, ear. It was like a traditional header goal drift, but it was kind of cool the way he was drifting in and then like caught it at the apex. Gary said in the post game that one of the things that Alex has been challenged with and has challenged himself with is taking on larger opponents. And it's all about your timing of your jump and like hanging. And he said that Alex has been working on that. He's actually been working on that move.
And he, I believe he's had another header. I don't know if it was a game, another game. He had another header that was quality, and, mm-hmm. and he got to it. He just was off target with it. So he's had a couple other opportunities. So I can see where that's paying off. Good for him.
Let's take a break. We got a lot more to talk about. So when we come back, we are going to talk about some uncomfortable questions and what did we learn. We'll do both. John's going to share some key stats. And we're going to tell you who or what you can get off our St. Patrick's Day pitch. Stay with us. We are back. All right, John, I'm going to hit you with an uncomfortable question. All right. Where's Hani at? Just wondering.
Oof, man. I mean, to me, I could give you two token answers. One, he's missed some time with injury, right? There's that. There's some lineups. Two, have we ever seen Hani come out of the gates firing?
Yeah.
No, he's always been a slow starter. So there's that. I mean, both those things. To me, I think if you had to ask me to give you a real answer, not something token, I think seeing some of the scoring spreading around is what we'd want if we still want Hani to score. Mm-hmm. He's probably still our penalty taker in situations when he's on the field. Because again, our two penalties have
Teal's done pretty good.
He has, but I'm just saying in general, situational. So Hani would get goals from that. Mm-hmm. But to me, I think our ideal thing is that Hani should be our second best scorer. Sam should be the primary guy. Sam should be our leading goal scorer. That is how we would draw this up. Is Sam mm-hmm. is the first. Hani could be the second. I mean, if you said someone else was third, I don't think anyone would complain about that. So I think the difference is by design, we don't plan him to be the number one goal scoring guy on this team. It should be Sam. Hani should be setting him up. Hani should be setting other guys up. He should be a facilitating number 10. We've seen some of that play. However, given the rest of our team, I would think he might have gotten a goal from now. He seems like, you know, I know he was frustrated looking when he got subbed off the pitch yesterday, but I still question whether he's fully fit. I really honestly do. I've seen he doesn't seem too belabored. He seems like he can turn and pivot. I just wonder if he's maybe still not quite 100%. So that's to me, there's a little bit of question. Maybe there's some lingering, not quite ready. But ideally, again, he shouldn't be our leading scorer. So the way we see it right now is kind of okay. Mm-hmm. I think the problem to me is if I look, he doesn't have any assists. And that's the weird thing. You know what I mean? Hani having no assists is odd because he should be setting up the goals if he's not scoring.
If you look at Mocha, the very first game we played against Mocha, that was the template for the entire season.
He scored and then he set up Sam. It was
Boyd, Surridge, and Hani. It was that trio generating all the offense.
Yeah.
And they were dominant. And they were just out there kicking the ball around, having fun. Now they got hurt. I'm worried about where Hani is headspace-wise. I don't claim to know. When I see, you know, being that close to the field, when I see him interacting with the other players now. There seems to be some chill. It's a bit chilly now. It's just a bit chilly. Like, I'll give you a good example. When Alex didn't lay the ball off on sort of driving towards the goal, and Alex just didn't even pick up his head and look around for Hani. Hani like chirped at him, and Alex just kind of shrugged at him. He was like, "Sorry, man." I don't know. There was a little friction there. I don't know. It got me thinking. Got me worried. All right, John, hit me. What you got?
Well, we talked about, we've both heaped some praise on Brian and Drew so far today. When I look back at these games so far, these last two games against LA and Charlotte, we've scored 4 goals while running Drew and Brian as the primary midfield pair. Obviously, Alex was in there and Tyler and then Jacob on the left side. Is that our best midfield duo at the moment? Ooh. Or at least they playing like it? Because, I mean, we saw what happened when we rolled out Sean and Godoy against Miami. Now, granted, that's Miami, but that didn't go so hot. So right now, are they the hot hand? Is that what we have now?
Are they just
the hot hand, or are they actually the better ones? You tell me what the answer is.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable. I think Davis's game has dropped off. I think Godoy is showing his age. He doesn't have the legs. He's got the savvy. He's got that sort of, he's gritty, and obviously he gets under other players' skin, right? I mean, that's why you have a guy like Godoy. But the two of them together don't seem to be producing the kind of midfield dominance that we want. And it does seem Drew, you're right, it does seem that Drew and it does seem that, that Drew and Brian have something going. Now, I don't know what they're going to look like against like an Atlanta. Like I was just watching them. Like,
yeah.
Like a fast, high pressing team. I don't know. We haven't seen them against that, right?
Yeah.
Yet. Is that right? So I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I mean, yes, we have not seen. Again, this is a small sample size. And again, we've had inconsistent lines. I mean, in the Mocha game, or no, not the Mocha game, in the first Miami game, I think we started Drew and Godoy by each other. You know what I mean? So we've mixed and matched a little bit. So I know I'm cherry picking here, but I'm just saying from the last 2 weeks, I have seen great things in the lineup that's come and it's produced two goals consistently over two games. Love to see it. But it just makes me wonder, they work well together. And there's something about that of, okay, maybe Godoy and Davis need to do a little more to vibe together or whatever. I don't know. It just makes me wonder, do we stick with that? And I agree. Gary probably has ideas of, no, if I'm going up against an Atlanta or this passing team, I want to do this or this. You know, I want to have different players for that. But it's worked, and it makes me wonder if we may see more of them because of that. And then I think the other uncomfortable question that I'm going to sprinkle in a little bit our stat here. Do you know who our lowest rated players on FootMob were for this past week's game against Charlotte?
No, yesterday? Who?
Well, Tyler Boyd, but he only played 45 minutes, and he was a little bit. Jack and Lucas. They were two of the three bottom ones. Do we actually maybe kind of have a problem on defense? I know, because remember, there's Gary kind of benched Jack and did whatever he did with Lovitz and Taylor against Miami. I mean, do we maybe have a defense problem? I mean, we all know Walker. When Walker comes back, he's Walker. There's no worry there, but I'm just saying, I'm looking at this and I'm like, I am kind of wondering a little bit.
Reading the tea leaves, Gary does seem to lean on the fact that Walker's absence played a giant role in the Miami loss. I didn't put too much stock into you asked that question. And that now makes me wonder because, you know, Lucas and Jack are both, I think they're definitely club guys. I mean, I think they love playing for our team, but you know, I don't know that they have the skill that Walker does, in combining them. I don't know. You were talking about stats. You want to go, let's jump into the stats.
Well, and so I look at this like, you know, they both had decent passing. They had some block shots. Again, to Anna, I saw a couple of things. Like I saw Lucas do a classic Walker when someone was running in front of the box. Instead of staying in front of him, he stepped forward and jumped in front of the pass. Like I saw one of the, you know, where you see Walker, where he sees the guy going behind him, sees the pass, and he steps around him and intercepts it. Like I saw a couple of very good plays where they did that. But I also see them losing marks. Like again, in the goal that was scored against us at Charlotte, Jack kind of got lost between two guys. There was a lack of communication. And again, it might not have necessarily been Jack and Lucas who missed the unmarked guy, but they should be communicating to make sure that happens. So I feel like there's something, you know, missing there. And when we look at the stats, Jack was, you know, lost both aerial duels, you know, in this past game. He won 50% of the ground duels, you know what I mean? So Lucas only won 40% of his 2 out of 5 for his aerial duels. And again, 2 out of 4 for his ground duel. So they're losing some of these duels. Now, granted, they had that extremely tall guy on Charlotte's team, Egg-Miang, but still,
Does Charlotte know that they're not fielding a basketball team? Like that, my daughter asked me, like, they know they're not playing basketball, right? Because these are some athletes. They have some athletes, and those athletes are tall.
Yeah, he was skinny, but he had some height. I look at that. And I mean, they're not horrible stats, but it just feels like together our defense is just not jiving the way it used to be. The communication, the organization, it's just not there. And we're having to be built up by an extremely good play, an intercepted pass, or, you know, help from an Anungwa Yearwood, you know, wheel someone coming back and, like, you know, assisting them. So,
Thank you for those stats, John, but I need to know more importantly, who or what needs to get off your pitch?
Yeah, well, it's been a week. So a slight update. I think we need to insert a segment here, which is called the John Houses a Serial Killer.
Okay, John. Wow. Okay, on that bombshell, please proceed.
Because we are now up, we have now added another mole and a bird to the body count that the cat has left behind. So in the last 3 weeks, for those doing it, because I brought up
for those of you who play the home game. So for those of you, okay, stop. For those of you who play the home game, the get off my pitch home game, that is how many animals, dead animals now?
4 moles and 2 birds.
Okay.
In the past 3 weeks.
Make sure to update your score sheet at home.
Yeah. So it was anyway. Sorry, I just had to do that. But I feel like he's not. I mean, I know it's a natural hunting instinct, cats, but I feel like he's a serial killer now because he's just killing them and leaving them everywhere, and I feel kind of guilty. Mm. But anyway, in watching our match, the Charlotte match, we got the result, great. But I thought it was interesting when we had 5 minutes of stoppage time in the first half. And I don't know if you noticed in the stadium. Did you notice when the whistle was blown?
Oh, no, I didn't.
It was blown at 49:30. We actually had 4.5 minutes. We magically lost 30 seconds of stoppage time at the first half, which because Charlotte scored and they went back to kind of reset and he just like kicked off. He's like, screw it, let's go to half.
Let's go.
And then I know you saw the last 10 minutes where Schaffelberg got tackled four times, maybe five, where we had what quite possibly, I will acknowledge, might have been a penalty on Shaq from behind, you know, in the box where he gave the guy a little shove. That wasn't called, a couple other tackles. I think the ref just forgot he had a whistle in the last 15 minutes.
I'm going to tell you right now, everyone in our side of the stands, because we were right there watching that, we got away with that.
We did.
Dude, we got away with one.
We got away with that. But then again, we also saw that. So I just want to say that this red card goes out to something that we have talked about, but I feel like was finally visible. It didn't, in my mind, necessarily negatively affect our match because we won. But it's been visible and it's been boiling over and brimming. And I feel like we finally saw at the end of the match of just poor refereeing.
Yeah.
There's been other feedback and the stuff. The referees, MLS and Pro and the PSRA have to get together and fix something. There's been rumblings. I've seen people saying that players think it's horrible and they're grumbling, even though, you know, Don Garber from on high is saying it's good. We've seen some inconsistencies. There's been some other egregious matches with issues, the handball that preceded the Suarez goal in Miami. So it's bubbling to a head. I feel like something's got to happen, but the fact that they cannot reach an agreement. And again, I'm tending to side with the refs from the information I hear but the whole situation can get a red card and get off my pitch, because at least if we have the right refs in here, I feel like it would weed some of that. There's always going to be controversy. There's going to be missed calls, but I feel like they would at least get some of this right. VAR would work when we wanted to. We might not have a 3-minute VAR for nothing in the Miami game to take away goal. And that was actually not PSRA. That was not SCAB officials, but I'm still going to throw them under the bus anyway. So yeah, this whole situation came off my pitch.
All right, John, with the ongoing strike, can get off his pitch. I think that I play a role. I get partial credit for that red card because I jinxed us by saying before the match started, I was like, hey, I think the refereeing has been fairly decent given the SCAB refs we've got. And I think my daughter said halfway through the second half was like, you totally just ruined it. So, all right. So I will accept part of that red card. All right, John. I tell you who can get off my pitch, and that's the McDonald's Corporation. And I'll tell you why. So I enjoy, like many Americans across this great land of ours, the Shamrock Shake. And so after the match Saturday night, I was looking forward to a treat. Now, the match ended about at 10:30. So by the time we got to our car, Chick-fil-A was closed. That's our first go-to, right? So I was looking for a frozen treat. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go buy McDonald's and get myself a Shamrock Shake, but I can't.
It's that time of year.
I can't because it's already gone. So they introduced. So
what?
Our research team at Get Off My Pitch has been working on this case. Why is the Shamrock Shake gone? Well, that's because McDonald's introduces the Shamrock Shake every year in February. In fact, this year it was introduced February 5th. They literally ran out of it by St. Patrick's Day. How do you run out of a shamrock? Like, this doesn't make any sense, McDonald's. McDonald's Corporation and the Green Hills McDonald's specifically gets a red card. You can get off my pitch. All right, on that bombshell, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how right or wrong we were on the score predictions. We're going to tell you who we're playing next, and we're going to tell you what we got wrong. Stay with us. We are back. All right, John. I'm going to run down the scores from last week and tell you how we did. All right, let's do the Inter-Miami. We were both very optimistic about this match. Yeah. I predicted a 2-1 win over Inter. You predicted a 3-2 win over Inter-Miami. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, look, we had to because we knew we had to win to go on, right? Otherwise, we would have had to tie and go to penalty kicks, but only if it was 2-2. So, I mean, I feel like we had to. Like, I don't fault us for the optimism. I don't fault us for knowing that it was make or break, win and go home. So it's what we wanted. It's not what we got.
Yeah, I'm going to brag about it a little bit. For the Charlotte match, I predicted the correct score, 2-1. So I got the 2-1. You had the clean sheet, though.
We used to get a lot of those. Just saying. This year we've had, well, not counting the Mocha games, because, we've had one at Red Bulls. So. Yep.
All right, John, who are we playing next, and when are we playing them?
Well, so just to mention, now that we are out of the C3, the CCC, the CONCACAF Champions Cup, the next games for that would have been in April, so we would have had a two-week break in here naturally. But now that we are done with that, just to refresh everyone, that means that from now until June, we have nothing but MLS. We are not in the Open Cup because we qualified for Champions Cup, so we just don't play in the Open Cup. So from now until June, it's just regular MLS schedule. That's it. So our congestion is going to be fewer and far between. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to kind of throw that out there. But upcoming, we are going to travel across to the West Coast and play the other Los Angeles team, Los Angeles FC. And we get to have a glorious Pacific time kickoff of 9:30 p.m. So drink your pregame with coffee and energy drinks and not beer this time, perhaps.
Fair enough. Yeah. Scoreline? What's the scoreline on that one?
I guess I feel like this is not the LAFC team of last year, in my opinion. I feel like, missing Acosta, Vela, who's still, by the way, Carlos Vela is still not signed with anyone. He's just out there.
Well,
very odd.
I think he's done. He might be done for the...
He might be done, or he was waiting for a large amount of money for a short amount of money. I don't know. But right now, LA is 1-2-1, so they won one, tied one, and lost two. So they're not doing so great. They actually have a -4 goal differential, mind you. So I do not feel like, at least at this point, this is the LAFC of the last 2 years, which won MLS Cup and then went to the final last year and lost to Columbus. So I feel a little optimistic, but it is a road game. We do have a full week off. So it's kind of like full week off, finally of rest, road game, Sunday. I don't know. I'm kind of warring with myself. I'm going to go on the safe side and call it a 1-1 tie.
Okay. All right. I normally don't do this. Tom Bogert and a couple of the other MLS people that I follow have talked about this. They think that LAFC is about to break out. There is going to be a reckoning coming, and that this team is not going to allow this losing streak to continue. They're going to take us to the woodshed, and it's going to be 3-0 Los Angeles FC. I think they are about to show their true quality. And again, I normally don't go with the experts, but they, they had me convinced on this one. I think.
Well, and to be fair, the one loss was the epically beautiful, fun to watch snow game against RSL. Which is kind of a giant asterisk when it comes down to it, right? So,
all right, it's got a joke. Oh, you know what? What if someone wants to tell us about a joke game that they saw either in the United States or otherwise? How could they tell us about that?
Well, you could go to Twitter at @GUMP_pod and you could leave us a comment, shoot your message, throw us a get off my pitch, whatever you want to do. Or you could go to YouTube at get off my pitch and you could find us there and throw on a comment on the latest, the latest live stream, which we do when again?
8:00 on Sunday nights at Central Time for our folks here in the United States. We do enjoy comments. Please keep them coming. You can reach us at the comment section on the live stream. You can also just Twitter us or X us or whatever you want to call us, a message. We would love to hear from you. All right, John, what did we get wrong from last week?
Well, let's see here. So you lied. In the intro, we talked about the blue shorts being back, but then we never actually talked about the blue shorts. You said we're going to talk about it later in the episode. We didn't, which, by the way, the blue shorts were back again this week.
Yes, they were.
And again, I like them. They look good. Mm-hmm. I don't, I know people
normal.
Said there's...
It looks normal. I'm sorry, but it does.
It looks right. But, and I know there's people saying that there's the color rules of MLS as to why we may or may not. Whatever. Let's just go with blue shorts.
For those of us who are more used to traditional soccer kits, both old school American kits and European kits, it just looks more normal. You just have a different color for the shorts. I'm sorry.
You do.
All right.
The only other big thing I had is I was talking about last week, I was awarding Brian and Ingwa the hardest working for the, for the Galaxy match. And I said, he's the hardest working player. I said, blah, blah, blah. And then I called him MVP in the middle of the sentence, which is obviously conflating the two things. So I just completely spoke wrongly.
All right, we'll give you a warning. That's just a warning. I'm just going to do like, this is your,
I mean,
this,
this, yeah, I mean, you've given me warnings for,
this
worse,
is a warning. So. This is the one. All right, John, thank you so much for joining me tonight, my friend. Thank you for listening at home and overseas. We also have some new Canadian listeners. Welcome in. We hope it's Schaffelberg's family. If you are listening, we'd love to hear from you.
Or let us know. Hey, we welcome
or
all
Lucas McNaughton's. Yeah. We love all Canadians here. So
yes,
on that note, thank you, John. Thank you. And tune in next week when we will be talking about LA. Have a good night.
Done.